thank everybody for asking me how I'm doing. Last week I was scheduled to preach, and Sunday morning I just realized it wasn't going to happen. So I'm really grateful that I'm able to be here this morning. I recently heard something on the radio. I listen to K-Love a lot. It's a Christian radio station, and there was a little snippet by a guy named Levi Lusco. Now, Levi Lusco is a pastor of a church in Kalispell, Montana, which is this huge, thriving church with multiple campuses. And here's what he had to say. He was responding to somebody who had written in, and they were complaining because the seating wasn't adequate. And the reason the seating wasn't adequate is because the church is growing so fast, they had a problem seating everybody, and go, geez, Louise, what a great problem to have. And so here's what Levi Lusco had to say in response, something along these lines. He goes, wow, talk about a consumer mindset. This is the kind of person who's going to come to church and they want those recliner seats, you know, with the little cup holders like you get at Fork and Screen up at ANC 30. I mean, these are the people who have the mindset that I'm just looking for a church that's going to be comfortable for me. He said, wouldn't it be great if people would just come to church with the mindset that we're a team, and you just go with the flow when you get little glitches like that. He was really pretty mad. And I was thinking about what he said, and I thought, you know, to be honest with you, I have a consumer mindset when it comes to church, because I want excellent coffee. I want excellent music, and by excellent music, that means I want music that I like. I don't really care if you like it or not, as long as it's the songs I like. I want excellent preaching, and I want great programs for children and for youth and for adults, and on and on it goes. And I realize that this is pretty much exactly how most people think of church, especially in America. Would you agree? So I thought the question we really need to ask ourselves is, what is the difference between going to church and being the church? So first thing, going to church means, well, you go, and then you feel pretty good about yourself, and you check that box off, and you go home and go, I went to church today. In fact, I go to church most Sundays. So you feel kind of superior, a little maybe uppity towards other people that don't go to church as much as you do. Or if you're the person who only gets to church once in a while, you feel kind of guilty because they didn't get to church. Well, this kind of thinking says you earn brownie points if you go to church, and you lose brownie points if you don't go to church. And that's what happens when you think of church as a place that you go to. Another side effect of that mentality is what I was mentioning before. When the church you go to no longer offers what you want, you leave it and you go find a church that does have what you want. This happens all the time, all across the United States. Doesn't matter, big churches, little churches, doesn't matter what the denomination is. If the church doesn't have a kind of youth group that they're looking for, or maybe somebody wants a big choir with stained glass windows, or they want rock and roll music, people are always church shopping, looking for a church that meets their needs and their family's needs. And in our family, we can joke about this because our son Ian talks about it quite freely. A couple of years ago, Ian was shopping, literally shopping for a church in the Kansas City area. And he cared about the preaching, but he didn't care about the music. And by preaching, he wanted somebody who was young, energetic, and funny. So, you know, had to be basically a stand-up comedian who was talking about Jesus. But the main thing he was looking for, can you guess?
Cute girl.
Not cute, beautiful girls. And he found a church that met all these criteria. Great preaching, fun, energetic, hysterically funny young pastor, and lots of beautiful young men and women. And it worked. He found the girl of his dreams. We love this girl. We love his church. It works. Church shopping works for people who think of church as a place that you go to get your needs met. So this mindset of going to church is best described as a consumer church. I'm looking for the graphic. There you go. as you can see from this graphic, the consumer church is a place where people go to be fed. They expect the professionals to spiritually nurture them and their children. They expect the pastor and they expect the youth pastor and the Sunday school teachers to spiritually nurture their children rather than seeing them themselves as, no, that's my job. So like I said, this mindset is the model that most of us have, myself included, when we think of church. We think of the consumer model. But church planters and church growth experts are starting to rethink what we mean by church. Like, is the consumer church really what Jesus had in mind when he first launched the church in the first century? And is this what the early apostles envisioned? And I thought, wow, I guess we need to really go back and look at this again. So the people who see themselves as missional still gather together on Sunday morning, and they still gather together because they need one another to be strong and to be fed by each other as well as by the Word of God. And they don't see the professionals as being responsible for educating their children in the Christian faith. They see themselves, the parents, are the ones who take on the role, the main responsibility for making sure their children are nourished spiritually. So this morning what I want to do is go back at what Jesus and the early church actually said about the church and see if we can ourselves at this church go, let's rethink this together. You with me? All right. First of all, who's the church belong to? Jesus. Yeah, when in doubt, always just say Jesus. It's usually right. So, yeah, the church, this church does not belong to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And we tend to forget that. We think, well, this is my church, and we get really territorial about it. And we have to remember who the owner and the manager of the church actually is. If you recall the story of Jesus pulling his 12 disciples aside, and he says, guys, who do people say that I am? People out in the crowds, what are they saying about me? They go, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're a prophet. He goes, yeah. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, bless his heart, says, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes, yes, Peter got it right. He was so excited. And then Jesus makes this famous statement. And he says, and I tell you that you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So the rock that Jesus is building his church on is not Peter, even though Peter means rock. The rock or the foundation that Jesus is building his church on is himself. It's Peter's declaration. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is saying, yes, and that is what I'm building my church on. So think about this. Jesus is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the architect of the church. Jesus is the builder of the church. And Jesus is the owner and the manager of the church. It's his church, not ours. So where does that leave you and me? What's our job? We're the building materials that he's using to build the church. We're the raw material that he is using to construct his church. One of my favorite illustrations of the Bible comes from something that Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 9. Peter's comparing the church, the body of Christ, to a physical building, referring to it as the temple of God. I'm not going to go through the whole passage, just through little bits and pieces. I'm going to start then with verse 4, where Peter says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Now, the temple that was the big physical temple that was there in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. All that's left is the Wailing Wall today. Peter's not talking about that temple. He's talking about you and me. And he's talking about Jesus as a cornerstone. We are the living stones that this building is made of. So, if Jesus is the cornerstone, what does that say about the rest of us? You know what a cornerstone is?
all the other stones have to align with the cornerstone. What happens if one of the stones is out of alignment with the cornerstone? Throws everybody else off, right? Everything gets out of whack. Have you ever laid tile? Looking at the wingers over there. What happens if the first tile you get in there is not exactly right, or if some of the other tiles don't line up? Throws it all off, right? Same with hanging wallpaper. You find out the walls are not in alignment. All the stones, you and me, the living stones in the temple of God, each one of us has to be in alignment with the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. And if one of those stones gets out of whack, out of alignment, it throws everybody else off. So for instance, one of the living stones is holding a grudge against somebody else. That do? It throws everything out of whack. Or if somebody else has offended or wounded another one of the living stones, what does that do to the whole alignment? It throws everything off. Or what if sitting in judgment? Well, that clearly throws everything off. Or what if the living stones on Sunday morning, you know, look, I've been perfect alignment with Jesus Christ, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, looking at stuff on the internet you shouldn't be looking at, holding attitudes that are very destructive, maybe not living with integrity in your place of business. You cannot be in alignment with Jesus Christ only on Sunday mornings. It's got to be throughout the whole week. And so our job then is to stay in alignment with cornerstone. So the first thing we need to remember when we think of church is the church belongs to, and we all have to be in alignment with the cornerstone, right? Now Peter goes on and he says, what's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So Peter's saying, look guys, you're not only a living stone in the temple, you're also a holy priest offering spiritual sacrifices. You go, what the heck is he talking about? You're a priest? Hey, I grew up in the Episcopal Church. The only priest I knew was Father Drigue. What does he mean, you're a priest? Well, according to the Bible, every single one of you is a priest. Because see, back in the day when Jesus was walking the earth and they still had priests, the priest was the only person who was designated to be able to go directly into the Holy of Holies and have direct access to God the Father. But Jesus has done away with the priesthood system. And so now we're all priests because everybody has direct access through Jesus Christ to God the Father. That makes sense? That's why in the Protestant tradition we don't have priests, because everybody's a priest. Is this new? Some people maybe. It's kind of a weird concept. Once, 100 years ago when I was a brand new baby pastor and I was speaking at a women's mother-daughter banquet, this lady came up to me, this is a Baptist church, she goes, I've never met a priestess before. Well, we girls were priestesses, and you guys are priests. At any rate, what are the spiritual sacrifices that we're offering as the priests in God's household? Peter goes on and he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, or a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. So there again, Peter's saying we are a royal priesthood, or we are a royal priest, not because we're royalty, but because we serve a king. That's what makes us royal. And the way we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God is not with the blood of goats and bulls, which God doesn't really care about. It's showing the goodness of God to other people. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those who are sick in prison, inviting the stranger into your home. These are the kinds of things specifically that Jesus said are pleasing to God. These are the spiritual sacrifices that we can offer up to God by the way we show God's goodness to other people. Okay, so back to the original question. Does this sound like a concern? consumer mindset is interested in what can this local church do for me, and the missional church is asking, how can we come together to grow together in Christ, and how can we best be offering spiritual sacrifices? How can we best be showing goodness to other people? So you see, God has not called us to go to church. God has called us to be the church. And it radically changes your perspective if you can wrap your mind around that. And again, I will confess to you, it's so hard. Because as Americans, it's part of our DNA. We're consumers. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm really, you know, true confessions, I'm pretty much addicted to Amazon Prime. It's so easy to hit click, and just keep consuming, just keep buying stuff. And so that is the way we think, that's the way we are raised. But if we can switch our gear over to, no, I don't go to church, I am the church, we realize, yeah, we still come together on Sunday morning because we couldn't function unless we did. But again, just to remind you that part of what's different about the missional church is that the people with that mindset go, well, yeah, sure, I want to be fed on a Sunday morning with the word, but I also am responsible myself for my own spiritual development. I'm responsible as an adult to my own children and grandchildren, their spiritual development. I don't just rely on the professionals to do that for me. And being the church, when you have that mindset that we come together, it just fills you up and gives you power in a way that simply going to church can't. God's glory, God's power, God's love can be experienced only when we come together with the mindset that we're here to just drink in what God wants to give us and how we can be together to do this. Because if you're sitting there with your arms crossed, all mad because you don't like the seating, it's impossible to receive the Holy Spirit in a situation like that. When we come together as individuals, we are part of God's holy habitation, God's temple. And when we come together stone by stone, we become more the house of the Lord than when we're alone. God's Spirit is alive and active in our midst. We come together so that we can glow and then go. We're like lions. Lions are social creatures. They live and hunt in packs. Actually, they call them prides. And their strength comes not from individual lions, but from the whole pride. And that's why it says in Hebrews 10:25, not to fall into the bad habit of missing worship on a regular basis, because when we miss worship on a regular basis and we're not part of the pride, it's really easy for Satan to pick us off when we get separated from the pride. We need to be together. There's great power in the pack. Can I get a amen? Okay, thank you. So that's why we gather to worship together, because we need one another, and the power of God is so much more powerful when we're all gathered together. So, does this mean that we shouldn't offer excellent programs for youth and children and for adults? Does this mean we shouldn't offer excellent music and preaching and so forth? Not at all. Please don't hear me saying that. Of course we want to be attractive to people who would never normally darken the door of a church. We want to be attractive. But we also want to look out for the needs of one another, right? We want all those things. So again, please don't think that I'm saying that somehow programs don't matter, because they matter a lot. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to the purpose and the nature of church. The church that Jesus intended it to be. We want to be healthy temple of God with healthy living stones, all of whom are in alignment with the cornerstone. We want to be effective as his priests and showing his love to one another as well. everybody always sometimes falls into the trap of the consumer mindset, and I just don't think we can help it. And so that's why we have to go back time and time again and go, wait a minute, hold the phone, let's go back and see what our purpose and our mission really are, what Jesus has actually called us to do and to be, and how can we better fulfill the purpose that God has called us to. And I'm really very excited to see what God is going to do as he shows us as we're meeting together, and we'll be sharing with you as we come up with ideas to get more clarity about our purpose and our mission. But I just pray that everybody sees, every single person, you see yourself as a necessary part of the whole, as a very critical part of one of the living stones. And one thing you can do right now, if you're interested, if you want to go deeper into your own walk with God, you can see Pastor Kent or me. We can talk about that with you. If you want to get involved in a small group, we can hook you up, connect you with a small group. Or if you're thinking, you know, I really would like to do a better job of being intentional with my own children, there's a zillion resources you can Google, or if you're kind of struggling with that, you can come to Vicki. I'm going to call on you. Vicki Hall, I'm sure, or any of the folks that work with the kids here can help you with those things. I just want to conclude by saying, you know, I admit that I come to church with a consumer mindset most of the time. I'm trying really hard to make a paradigm shift to be more missionally minded. And my hope and prayer is that all of us will come with that same mindset, like we're part of the pride, we're part of the pack. And all of us together, with the power of the Holy Spirit, can do great things for God and great things for this community if we come with that sense that we are called and that we come together so that we can glow and then go. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is so very difficult not to see ourselves the perspective of what can I get out of this, rather than how can I serve, how can I contribute. So Father, I do pray that you would help us to have the mindset of Jesus Christ, who owns this church, who owns all churches everywhere. Help each one of us as living stones